Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
And you're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our guest today is a head coach that's been around the block, as they say. He's been around football for a long time in Louisiana, North Louisiana. He's been across at Arkansas a long time coaching. He's currently the head football coach at Franklin Parish High School, Coach Sonny Nason. Coach Sonny, thanks for calling in today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Lee. Good to finally talk to you.
Yeah, well, we talked the other day, and I was really, really surprised, you know, just memory bank that, you know, I had forgot that I met you years ago when you were at Bastrop High School during those glory days of, you know, 2005, 6, 7, and 8 with Coach Brad Bradshaw and three state championships. And I know one was forfeited, but I'm still going to say three state championships.
as everybody in Bastrop still right, does, yeah.
Right. And but, Sonny, now you're the head football coach at Franklin Parish. And let me just tell people outside of that area, if you're not from, you know, the Monroe area, it's the old Winnsboro High School. It's still in the city of Winnsboro. And we'll talk about some of the famous notable alumni there. But, Coach, what's it like being at Franklin Parish now in 2020, and you were there in 2019 coming from Crossett, Arkansas, but what was it like to get back to Louisiana?
Oh, it's been a blessing. You know, I was very thankful for my time that I spent in Arkansas. Things are done, a completely different way, you know, of course, in another state. And so it took me a little while to get used to how they did things there. And now back here, it was awesome because it wasn't like I was starting over. It was, even though it's not my hometown, it's like I was coming home when I came back to Louisiana, because, you know, I made so many friends here in all the years I was here in the coaching world, and it was good to see them. Not necessarily good to play some of them again, but it was good to see them.
Your coaching career, let's go back, turn the page, but, I mean, you've been in this for, tell everybody how many years now?
I'm finishing year 28.
28 years, and me and you were talking about it the other day. This is about 28, 29 years for me in the business, almost 30 years. Man, time is flying,
yeah.
Coach.
Yeah, it has.
In the history of Franklin Parish High School, I'm going to say Winnsboro High School, Franklin Parish High School, we all know that I remember, and you remember, Anthony, they called him Anthony McFarland, and then they called him Anthony Booger McFarland.
Right, right.
Goes to LSU, and I remember when seeing Anthony play football at 6 foot tall, 340 pounds, and ran like a 5 flat 40, back then, I remember he wasn't highly recruited, and LSU took him, and the rest is history, huh, Coach?
Yes, sir. The rest is history. Actually, the road that our stadium is located on is called Anthony McFarland Drive. So we have his jersey retired, and he's meant a lot to that community.
Coach, you know, we'll get back. We're going to get to Franklin Parish currently because I want to talk about you players from 220. And the kids that are still trying to sign, and then 221, you got a really good young group, 222 class, 223 class, a lot of talent, young guys. The history of this town, man, I mean, and not just Booger McFarland, but I didn't know this, but, and then I'm gonna have to do my research, but on Wikipedia, they say that Ned Romero, the actor, who's in a lot of Western movies, they say he's from Franklin Parish, Winnsboro, and then they say he's from Franklin. So I don't know. He's from one of them.
well, I don't know of any Franklin, but I know of Franklin Parish. So, yeah. I mean, we'll claim all the stars we can.
So he's on both Wikipedias for Franklin and South Louisiana and Ned. Maybe he was from both towns. But and then I didn't know this, Coach, being from South Louisiana. I mean, I've been to North Louisiana several times, but Winnsboro's known for the Catfish Festival.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. It's one of those where, you know, Winnsboro is a great community. You know, there's a lot of closeness there, a lot of history there. And of course, you know, in certain towns, when they have festivals like this, they pretty much shut it down because it's all revolved around that. It is a huge deal.
supposedly over 20,000 people from all over the country attended every year. And just to let people know, there's some small towns around Winnsboro like Gilbert, Crowville, Wisner, and Baskin.
Yes.
And Baskin. A lot of, I just want to mention those.
And also Fort Necessity. Don't leave that out.
Yeah. good catch. Good catch, Coach. Tell everybody, Coach, about well, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about your philosophy, because we're going to go back to when you were at Bastrop in the glory days with Brad Bradshaw. I mean, your specialty as a coach. You know, some guys are offensive coaches. You know, some guys are defensive coaches, and see which one is your really been your fallback strength as a coach. We'll be right back. We've got more of the head football coach from Franklin Parish High School, Coach Sonny Nason, who will be back with us. So join us another segment. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. We've got our guest from Franklin Parish High School. I keep wanting to say Winnsboro High School because, Coach, I did that for the first 10 years. We had the magazine in 97 on, and it was Winnsboro, and then it's now Franklin Parish High School in Winnsboro. Coach Sonny Nason. Coach, your specialty as a coach, what would you say that leans toward more, offense or defense?
The offensive side of the ball, without a doubt. I will say probably it was one of the smartest decisions I ever made. And I say this in a joking manner. Well, let me say this. I somewhat say it in a joking manner. I think everybody knows Coach Bradshaw's reputation of, you know, his sternness and discipline. And he was a defensive specialist. So I figured out real quick I wanted to be on the opposite side of the ball from him. You know, I wanted to work on his staff, but I didn't want to work on his defensive side.
Right.
So I that's what funneled me into the offensive side.
Like we mentioned, Coach, at Bastrop High School when you were there, and just the history of it, the 2005 state champs, 2006 went undefeated, you know, three state championships, 3 years out of four, 2008 district champs, 2007 state champs. I remember going to a game, Coach. I was telling you this the other day, and it was probably 10 degrees. I don't remember the year. It was one of these years that y'all went on to win the title. It was either 05, 06, 07, one of those years. But y'all were playing Minden High School to go to the state championship game. It was a semifinal.
Yeah.
Game. And I was telling you this the other day. I said, when I went to that game, I was on the sideline. And me and Brad were friends, and I'm like you. He's intense, so I got out of the way. You know, I like to get on the sideline, but I was on the other side. And I remember the first play of the game, there was a slant thrown to this freshman named Reuben Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman. And I 6'2", I remember looking on the roster, he was 6'2", about 190 at the time as a freshman. And he took that slant 80 yards. I went, you know what? I said, I knew this team had a great D-line. With Josh Downs and Contravius Aubrey, both signed with LSU, and DeMarcus Williams went to, I think, Mississippi State. I'm like, man, and this other guy, D. Benton, who went to Auburn, I was like, that's a heck of a receiver too. That was a heck of a team, Coach.
Yeah, I was the receivers coach. You know, I had actually left Delta High School. Not a lot of people probably knew this, but Delta was about 7 or 8 miles down the road from Bastrop at the bottom of Red Hill, as we affectionately call it, and was a school out there in the middle of the cotton field, was really more of a basketball school. Jesse Burnett had been there, won a couple state championships. They had probably the best gym at that time in Northeast Louisiana, but because of the consolidation, they closed Delta down in May of 2006, and all those kids were bussed up to Bastrop. And, you know, everybody always made a big deal about, you know, the hurricane. And yeah, we got Randall Mackey, who was a phenomenal football player, but we also ended up getting all those kids from Delta, and there ended up being 7 D1 signees that came from Delta, and many of them start on that team. Josh Downs, Lee, was actually, he came to Bastrop in the fall of 06 as a sophomore, and he was actually our starting left tackle.
Wow.
As a sophomore, made All-State as a left tackle, then went to the D-line and made All-State the next 2 years at defensive tackle, his junior and senior year. So he was a three-year All-State player for us at Bastrop. We just had a wave of those guys. And the hardest part of my job that year was the sheer amount of talent that I had at wide receiver, and the fact that there was, you know, what I drove home to them all the time was two simple things as being a wide receivers coach. Number one, you know, I had a phrase that I still use to this day, you know, no block, no rock, you know, so if you're not going to block on the running plays, we're not going to throw it to you on the passing plays. And the other part was making them understand there's only one football. You know, so all four and five of you can't touch it every time.
Right.
So we're going to evenly distribute it around. And I had seven receivers that year, Lee, and we worked out a system where D'Angelo was our starting X, and he was the only receiver that never came off the field. He played the whole game. And the other three positions rotated. We had a first group that they would play four plays, and it didn't matter where we were at in the drive or anything. Those three came off the field, and then the other three went in for three plays because they were the second unit. And then after three plays, they would come off, and the first group would go back in. And they rotated themselves through the whole course of the whole year, stayed with it, because I'm going to be totally honest, there was not a nickel's worth of difference between my number one guy and my number two guy. Even as Reuben, as good as he was as a sophomore, he still rotated because the guy behind him was almost as good as he was.
Yeah, I
tell people all the time, at that point, there was no doubt I was the best wide receivers coach in America because I had the best wide receivers. I mean, they were phenomenal.
Yeah, and then Isaiah Graham came out of there later on.
Yep,
years ago, went to TCU. And Coach, I want to mention this because I've been, you know, doing this about as long, maybe a year longer, about the same as your time in high school football in Louisiana. But I look at all the D lines that I've seen over the last 30 years in Louisiana, and I only remember one school that produced more D linemen to the NFL and to college, and that was Evangel Christian, or the same.
Right.
Amount.
Right.
You know, the late Cole Pittman, Chase Pittman, Byron Dawson, Stevie Lee, and just go on Keanu Dawson. But you look at Bastrop, and you look at the D linemen that have come out of Bastrop that came out from 2000 to about 2009. It is crazy. You look at Contravius Aubrey, that was one of the number one D tackles in the country, went to LSU. Claude Roten, who went to LSU, was the number one D tackle, junior college D tackle after Bastrop in the country. You look at Josh Downs who went to LSU. You look at Denzel Duvall that went to Alabama.
That's right.
Talent Sawyer who went to
Lance.
Went to UNLV, played in the NFL 7 years.
Played in the NFL, yes.
LaMarcus Williams to Mississippi State. I mean, it just goes on and on. It was and these guys were 300, 315, 6 foot to 6'4". I mean, it was a group.
And Lee, let me tell you something. And here's the most phenomenal thing out of all of that. There was one that played for us that nobody ever talks about because he wasn't their size. He didn't go on to, he went and played a couple years in college, but was the best defensive lineman that ever played for us. You know, I really wish that I could remember the kid's name because it's been so long ago. He was the 1997 4A state defensive MVP that year.
Wow.
And the reason was he had 29 sacks his senior year.
Wow.
He was unblockable. Absolutely unblocked. He was 5'10", 195 pounds.
Wow, that's not even a safety, Coach. That's crazy.
And he had 29 sacks his senior year, and he would come off the edge. If you ran away from him, you know, of course, in those days in the late 90s, there were very few teams running the spread. Most everybody ran the eye.
Right.
And he was always our weak side end because his name was Doug Caldwell. It's because he played the weak side end because if they ran the ISO or the lead the opposite way, he would get to the tailback before he got to the line of scrimmage coming from the other way.
Coach, let me ask you this. If he would have been 6 foot, about 250, you think he'd have played in NFL at DN?
There ain't no doubt about it. He had the best. And look, I mean, we know how good all those guys were. I mean, Josh Downs, had a great first step, had a great takeoff. But Doug Caldwell was the most phenomenal high school lineman that I have ever been associated with. He was the strongest guy on our team. Lee, he, like I said, he was 5'10", 190, 195. He squatted 645 pounds.
Oh.
It's the most it was ever squatted at Bastrop High School. And he was just a freak, you know. But you're right, you know. But, of course, as you know, in high school, kids always play out of position. I mean, you right. play them where you need them, and right. you know, he would have been a heck of a strong safety or a wheel linebacker, but we needed him at defensive end, and you can see why. He had 29, like I said, 29 sacks his senior year, which is unheard of.
I bet you Doug's going to be celebrating for a while hearing this, man. If he hears this shit. I mean, it's good that yep. I'm glad you shared that with the listeners, because that's the kind of stuff that I live for, to promote those guys, that you don't have to be D1 to talk about somebody. Just a
no,
like I said,
no.
Like I said, a great player.
Coach, yes, he was.
Coach, before we take a break, I want to mention another famous player from Winnsboro, and I did not know this. I know the guy, and you know him, and I didn't know that he was a Winnsboro, when it was Winnsboro High School. Calvin Natt, the NBA All-Star, Calvin Natt, I didn't know was from Winnsboro.
No, he's from Bastrop.
Oh, Calvin Natt's from Bat. Yeah, that's – hey, I'm
yeah,
I got my notes.
That's
now,
okay.
So, yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story before we go to break. I'll tell you how I know that, because when I was 10 years old in 1975, he was part of probably the greatest high school basketball team that I've ever seen in my life. Wow. We won the state championship in Bastrop in 1975, and Lee, just real quick, here was the starting lineup. We had Carl Kilpatrick in the middle at 7 foot tall.
Whoa.
We had Anthony Lally Robinson at power forward at 6'8".
Cool.
We had Calvin Natt at small forward at 6'6".
Wow.
We had Kenny Natt, his younger brother, at a shooting guard at 6'3". And then the former mayor of Monroe, Jamie Mayo, was the point guard.
Wow.
And it was the best high school basketball team I've ever seen in my life. They went undefeated that year. And that was back during the no dunk rule too. So actually they would like put their whole elbow down in the basket and lay the ball down in there.
Oh man.
You know, I was 10 years old sitting in Sam's place watching that, not realizing what I was witnessing at the time.
And then Kenny Natt played in the NBA too. Kenny Natt.
Yes, he did. He played in the NBA and Calvin actually, Lee, in the 1980 NBA draft, Magic Johnson was chosen first. Larry Bird was chosen second. Calvin Natt was chosen third.
That's crazy. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's wild.
Yeah.
Coach, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about your team at Franklin Parish. We'll start with your 221 guys that are still trying to sign. One guy I like a lot, Terrence Richardson, who's a senior. And we'll talk about your older guys, too, in the 222 and 223 class. You got some talent young kids at Franklin Parish that we want to mention their names. And we're going to have more with the head football coach at Franklin Parish High School, Coach Sonny Nason. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships, which means 3 times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I really appreciate Coach joining us today and telling some great stories. That Calvin Natt story was great, even though I messed it up. I actually wrote it down as Bastrop, but I got so excited talking about football and put him with the wrong school. But, yeah. Coach, talking about your team at Franklin Parish, and in your first year as head coach, you got a guy that you coached who's a senior now, and I think he's one of the best linebackers in the state. I watched him on film, and not highlight. I watched full game film, and I think Terrence Richardson at 6'1", 225, 230, whatever he is right now, what a football player this kid is. I think he's a D1 guy. And tell everybody what he's doing right now, where he's gone, if he's still available.
Yeah, he's still available. You know, last year, everybody is in such a tough position with this recruiting last year with colleges allowing, another year and most of them having their rosters full and there's going to be some guys that left out. And the other thing about Terrence is, his junior year, probably about middle of the year, he tore his ACL and of course had to have that surgery. So I'm gonna be totally honest. He's just now probably fully recovered. You know, he wasn't at 100% all year long because a lot of kids, you know, at a young age when they have an injury like that, they never really trust it. You know, that it's not going to happen again. As most human beings are, fear factor of it happen again. But you know, he's even though football season, he still comes. He gets out of school early. He comes down to the field house. He gets a weight workout. He's running track for us, and you know, we've been in contact with a couple of JUCOs, but you know, nothing because we had to shut our season down last year because of COVID.
Right.
We got one of our starting defensive linemen contacted it, so it pretty much, with the quarantine rules and all that, it pretty much, we lost the last two games. Didn't get to play them, so in essence, our season was over. So I just don't think people saw enough of him to really appreciate, you know, the size, the speed of him, his aggressiveness, you know, great football body, like you stated earlier, and a great kid too. So I still have faith we're going to find a place for him before it's all said and done.
Coach, I got another school for you to talk to for him, and he would probably take him. Talk to Ken Karcher, the head coach at East Central Mississippi Junior College. Ken Karcher.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I will do that.
Ken is the head coach, former Tulane quarterback. He's a friend of mine, and I've helped him with a few kids in Louisiana. But
I remember that name.
Yeah, he was in the 80s. He actually signed with Notre Dame, coach. He was the number one player coming out of Pennsylvania senior year, and he ended up at Tulane as a transfer, I think for Mac Brown or right before Mac Brown. And
that's where Bubby Brister ended up too.
Yeah.
Remember, if you remember that story.
Yeah. He ended up signing with Bama, then going to Tulane, then going to Northeast. Yeah.
He was Bear Bryant's last quarterback he ever signed.
That's wild stuff.
And then he got drafted in either the second or third round by the Detroit Tigers and went and played professional baseball for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then ended up going to Tulane and, of course, came to NLU, which were, you know, you're familiar with those teams they had in the late 80s up there, how great they were.
Oh, man, Stan Humphries, Bob Lane. Doug Peterson. Jackie Harris. Roosevelt Potts.
John Holman, who was the quarterback that started it all off. I mean, Pat Collins put some teams on the field. Well, of course, they won a national championship, so. Yeah, NLU used to be the top dog around here. There ain't no doubt about it.
Coach, I think Roosevelt Potts was the Devin White before Devin White, don't you think?
He was, wasn't he, Lee? He was coming out of Ravel, you know, just a few miles up the road from us in Winnsboro.
I mean,
you know, he was a
man, he was huge, and he could move.
He was a freak. Yeah, there ain't no doubt about it. He was.
I remember talking to Bubby Brister. We were just talking about, ball, and I saw Bubby about 5 years ago and saw him, ran into him in Mandeville. And I said, Bubby, tell me about Roosevelt Potts. I said, this guy, 6'1", 245, 250, ran a 4.45 and was a truck with serious attitude.
Yeah.
And he had signed with, I think he signed, didn't he sign with Alabama? And then he ended up at Northeast.
No, he signed with Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah. And then he ended up at Northeast from Ole Miss.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and that was incredible.
I'll tell you this without a doubt. And you know, I never told him face to face, but the best player I ever faced in high school, whether it was football or baseball, was Bubby Brister. He was as good as anybody I've ever seen. He just absolutely phenomenal. He was a senior when I was a sophomore.
Okay.
And the thing about Bubby, and I'm sure he's probably still this way to this day, was he was good and he knew he was good, you know?
Coach, he didn't lack for confidence, I'll tell you that. He was
No, there wasn't no doubt about it. When I was a sophomore, we played them in baseball, and he pitched against us, and I think the first three times I batted against him, I think it was 9 pitches, you know, total. And I went back to the dugout 3 times. I don't even think I ever fouled one off. And later on in the game, they took him out. And the relief pitcher they bring in, well, I'm the first guy he faces. So I hit a double off of him. And when I get to second base, Bubby's playing shortstop. He walks over, he pats me on the behind, and he goes, "That's a good lick, man." And I said, "Appreciate it." He goes, "You know you wouldn't have got that if I was pitching, right?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You've already proved that fact 3 times."
Yeah,
well, that's my Bubby Brister story.
Yeah, Bubby, you know, he's his son's playing college ball, Andrew.
Right. And sure is.
And just so people understand that are not from Monroe, listen, if you live in Shreveport, Baton Rouge, or New Orleans, Lafayette, Bubby went to Neville High School. So coach is talking about Neville High School, the Neville Tigers, playing them in baseball, football. And, man, that was a good team with Bubby when they had the late they had Toby Caston on that team. They had Oliver Lawrence, both played linebacker at LSU. They had some players come out.
The Ambrose brothers. One of them went to Tulane as a running back. Was it Lauren?
Yeah, I think so.
And then JR went to Ole Miss as a wide receiver. Yeah, they were something else. They were grown men. I was a little sophomore that probably had about five hairs on my chin, and they were grown. Toby Caston was a grown man in high school. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, they were 240, 6'1", running football speed, 4'5". I don't know what they time, but football speed, Coach.
We're going to
take a break. When we come back, we're going to have more of Coach Sonny Nason, the head football coach, Franklin Parish High School in Winnsboro, Louisiana. We're going to talk about his current team, his 222 guys. He's got a bunch of guys that have potential, and he's got some big-time 223 kids that can end up being good players, too. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Sonny Nason, the head football coach at Franklin Parish High School in Winnsboro, Louisiana. I love Winnsboro, Coach. Every time I want to eat and I'm an hour away or 45 minutes out from Monroe, I stop in Winnsboro, man, and it's good food. There's a couple places there that I like to go to, and I always get my gas there. That's where I get my gas before I hit Rayville. And I always get my gas fill up and take a break, you know, coming from Baton Rouge.
Right.
After 3 hours and going through Woodville, Mississippi and Natchez and, you know, that whole area, Faraday and Vidalia, to get to that point. Coach, your 222 class of guys that are going to be seniors next year, I'm going to run through them because we could spend an hour on these guys because you got a bunch. But I just want to get their name out, and then we'll go back to some of the guys you want to talk about. But Josh Kemp's coming back at linebacker, really good player. Jacob Caldwell, Ladarius Shaw, Tyrell Richardson, running back. Malik Drake, corner. Andrew Hill, who's new receiver for you, we'll talk about him. Richard Bowley. Mario Whitley, big-time defensive end. Demarion Carter, I'll let you tell us his nickname. Eli Gray's coming out, new kid, free safety that you're high on. And two 223 guys that have big-time ability. Offensive tackle Braden Clark, 6'4", 300. Eli Foster, 6'6", 245-pound tight end, only a sophomore. Coach, your young linebackers in D-line have a chance to be really good if they buy in and work hard, right, this offseason?
Yeah. And we've seen some dividends. We were sad, of course, that the season ended early for us, but we were also excited to be able to get into the weight room because, you know, I went to work at Franklin Parish. March the 2nd was actually a year ago. March the 2nd on Monday was my first day. I worked for 5 days, got to meet my kids in those 5 days. Then the next week was spring break, and then we were told not to come back.
Oh, man.
You know, so I spent 5 days on the job and then didn't get them back until June. And, of course, we were so far behind, you know, weight room wise, and a brand new coach putting in going to a school which, you know, you being around football understand how hard it is to go to a school and not have off season, not have spring to implement changing from a traditional wing T flex bone offense that they had been for 20 years not that long, you know, for existence of Franklin Parish, which was about 2005 or six, somewhere in there, to converting it to a spread offense. So, I mean, we struggled offensively the whole year to understand the philosophy of what it is we were doing. So we really were behind the eight ball. The the whole year. So I never really got to build relationships with my kids, figure out what it is they could do. So as soon as this year ended early, we went straight to the weight room, and I've seen so much gain in strength, and we've put on weight, and our flexibility so much better. And of course, we've had a chance to get on chalkboards too, and go back and reteach the things we didn't think we had time to teach right, or teach it a way that they could learn it, the concepts better. So we're really more excited about, you know, this year getting ready to go in year number two. And it does, Lee, revolve around our defensive front. I think that without a doubt, that's going to be our strong point. You know, Jacob Caldwell returned for us at defensive end, started every game last year. Mario, probably going to move Mario down to a three technique because Mario's 6'2.5", up to about 255 right now. So he's and the second strongest kid on our team. And then, of course, Rashard Boley will be our one technique. And then we've got another one that I didn't mention, Joe Young, who played some for us last year, defensive end. He'll take over as the other. So, and then, you know, going to have a couple of backups in there to have some depth. So we're really excited about our defensive front. Then, as you mentioned, the other side, we're excited about our offensive front. We lost absolutely nobody on the defensive front or the offensive front. You mentioned Terrence earlier. We lost Terrence. We lost a senior wideout, and we lost a senior inside linebacker. So we only lost three starters from last year, and got everybody else coming back, and just, you know, really excited about what next year is going to hold for us.
And you got a kid that's coming out, a new kid, Eli Gray. You're high on at free safety, and you told me Demarion Carter has a really cool nickname, the corner. He had six picks last year for you in six.
Yeah, he's called Taterbug, you know, because that's about his movement. He's 100 miles an hour, and I can't remember which one of my coaches nicknamed that. He said he's just like a little Taterbug. He's just everywhere, you know, zipping from here to there. And the thing about it is Taterbug's, which wouldn't surprise you, he's a four-sport guy too. He just finished basketball, and now he's splitting time between baseball and track. So he's just one of those rare breeds that come along that it doesn't matter how much you run in practice, how much you run on the court, whatever you do, he never gets tired. He's always got a smile on his face. So, you know, if you had 22 of them guys, you'd really like things a lot better.
Coach, in that area of the state, when you look at Winnsboro and you're traveling toward Monroe and you get into Mangum and you get into, you know, Winnsboro, like I said, your school, and then you've got Rayville, like you said, not far away, Bastrop, not too far away, and then you get down the interstate, you got Ouachita, Richwood, and then you get into Monroe, obviously, with the Nevilles and the Ouachita Christians and then the West Monroe on the other side, but what an area of some great football programs. I'm not even going to say recruits. I'm just saying great football programs and coaches. I mean, it. You know, even the teams that are 2-8 are probably 7-3 in another district coach in a different part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lee. I mean, what, you know, and we didn't even mention Faraday, who won the state championship before last. I mean, it's the history.
Oak Grove,
oh my gosh, yeah, the history there. You know, I had to, when I was at Lake Providence for 4 years, I had to get my tail beat by Vic, you know, while I was there. But, you know, it's unbelievable. I was having a conversation with Mike Collins, who's a longtime coach in this area. He was a head coach at Sterlington for about 4 years. He's my defense coordinator.
Okay.
And we talk a lot of football, you know, the history and everything. And we were talking the other day about the fact that, you know, from about 1982 to somewhere around, I would say, maybe 2000, somewhere from 82 to 2000, somewhere in that area, there were only 2 years, and I think the 2 years were 85 and 87, that somebody from that old 2-5A, and it used to be 3-4A before that, was not in the state championship game. In the biggest classification, either West Monroe, Neville, Ouachita, or Ruston was in the state championship game every year for about 20 years, except for 2 years. You know, just phenomenal. you know, phenomenal. The storied programs with the Nevilles and what, you know, Charlie Brown and of course Mickey kept going, and you know, you had Joe Coates in there that won a state championship. So, you know, the history and like you said, not necessarily recruits, just programs, you know, it's really phenomenal.
You know what impresses me the most, Coach, going to, around the state, going to Monroe area, going to, like I said, from Faraday all the way to Ruston. And obviously, if we're talking Shreveport, it's Mendon all the way to, you know, Natchitoches. But
right,
the fanship, the emotional connection of fans, and this is something I see a lot in North Louisiana, that when you don't even have people that are parents of kids coming to the games.
Yes.
They're just in the community wanting to go to the game. They have no kid playing, nobody in the band, no cheerleader, nothing. They're at the game. They're in their mid-40s, 30s, 60s, 70s. They've got their hats on. They've got their shirts on. And I tell people all the time, you got to take a game in North Louisiana. South Louisiana has great fans. I'm just saying up north, you don't have to have a kid on the team to go to the game. And I see a lot of that in these small towns.
Well, And I think the other thing, Lee, is the amount of teams that you have in South Louisiana that has to share stadiums. Yeah. You know, all of these places here in North Louisiana, they all have their football field on their campus. And so, you know, it's just different. You know, I mean, it really is. And you're right. And I'm going to tell you something. You can even throw CrossFit, you know, in there because, you know, CrossFit's only 15 miles above the Louisiana line.
Yeah.
And also Hamburg, Arkansas is only, it's east a little bit, but it's only 15, 20 minutes across. And they have it's the same type thing up there. The 7 years that I spent at CrossFit, there were multitude of fans that were 60 and 70 and 80 years old and were sitting in their same spots that had been sitting there since the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
You know, and didn't have a grandkid, didn't have nothing. They just went to that school and they loved their school and they were going to support their school through the thick and the thin.
Yeah, that's what's great about Louisiana. I mean, like I said, and then you can go south, Lafayette, New Orleans areas, you know, Baton Rouge area. I mean, all over South, home of Lafourche. But the state of Louisiana is a very unique state when it comes to football. I know Alabama thinks they got the best fans. I don't agree with that. I know that Mississippi thinks they have the best fans. I know Texas, everything's big in Texas. They think they got the best fans. But
Of course.
But I put Louisiana up there with the emotion and the dedication and support of all athletics, baseball, football, soccer, golf, lacrosse, frisbee throwing, whatever. You know, they're going to support Louisiana.
Yes, Coach, yes, they're going to be there.
Coach, you want to take one more break? When we come back, I want to share your love that you've told me for golf. You love you some golf. And there's a lot of coaches in high school football that I know that love their golf. And when they're not coaching, they're playing golf or watching golf. So
we're
going to
take
a break, and I'm going to let you expand on that. Tell us how long you've loved the sport of golf. We'll be right back. We're going to have more with Sonny Nason, the head football coach at Franklin Parish High School. We'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest is Sonny Nason, the head football coach at Franklin Parish High School in Winnsboro, Louisiana, if you're not from the Monroe area. Coach, you love you some golf, man, and you're one of many. Now, I'm not a golf guy. I watch it, but I don't know a lot about it. I watched Tom Watson growing up just because – you know, you pick a bunch and you watch, you know. And,
yeah, he was a good one.
And then, I know about Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. And then we'll talk about, actually, I'll get your thoughts on Woods. I know he had that bad wreck, and thank God he's alive. I mean, that was a horrible collision. But why do you like golf? Because you, when you're not, you're watching golf today, and but when you're not, when you're not coaching, you said you were definitely out on that golf, some golf course somewhere.
Yeah, I really don't know where the love of it began. I mean, I never you know, mess with it growing up. Wasn't really around it. You know, I was as everybody else living out in the country, it was either baseball, football, or basketball. I mean, that's what we were doing 365, you know, outside all the time. And I think it was, you know, I actually played semi-pro baseball during the summers until I was 27 years old.
Wow.
Still out there playing against college kids, still having a good time. But sometime along after, when I was about 27, 28, I figured out that, you know, I didn't move quite as good. And I actually didn't pick up playing golf till I was about 35, I think. And then it's just it was a fever, you know. And I've always had the greatest affection for anybody that is very good at what they do. And it doesn't matter if it's sports or building houses, just to watch people that, you know, has a unique talent and are very good at that talent. I enjoy that. And so a buddy of mine years ago had tickets to the practice round of the Masters. Hmm. And I got to go to Augusta. And I will say this, I don't know what heaven looks like, but I know what it looks like on earth. You know, it is the cleanest, prettiest, nicest place you will ever see in your life. You could take a plate of food and dump it out on the fairway and eat it off that grass. That's how clean it is. I mean, it's there ain't a piece of pine straw out of place. And to be able to see professional golfers at the height and to watch what it is that they do, I just kind of fell in love with it. And I've always told people, I didn't realize it would be harder to hit a ball sitting still than it would be a 90 mile an hour slider, you know. And I think the integrity of the game, Lee, because I've always been big on doing things right and doing things by the rules. And it's the only sport where you're responsible for, you know, you're responsible for your actions, and they call penalties on themselves all the time. And they live by a code of ethics that I really admire. And, you know, I try to emulate. So, I'm not that good. I used to be decent 20 years ago when I was young, but now I'm kind of one of them older guys that watch them younger guys hit it 50 yards past him and remember when I used to do that. But I still, you know, I walk 90% of the time when I play, because I'm at that age where I don't run anywhere anymore. I got a slow jog.
Right.
But, you know, if you get out there and tote that 8-pound bag for 18 holes, that's usually about 5 miles. So that's pretty good. Especially, you know, I hit it so far left and right, there's probably actually more than 5 miles. So,
yeah.
But I enjoy it. I mean, I really do. I like the competition. I like, and here's the other thing. You're in total control of everything. You're not relying on your guard to make a block for you. You're not relying on your point guard to get you the ball. I mean, it's you. There's nobody else to blame when you screw it up, and there's nobody else to pat on the back when you do it well.
Coach, I want to mention this. I don't know a lot about golf, but a golfer told me this years ago, and it made me respect golfers even more. You know, in boxing, when you lose a match, you get paid.
You know? Right.
In football, you play pro ball, you get paid, win or lose.
Right, right.
In MLB baseball, you get paid. Basketball, baseball, track. I mean, all these professionals, the only sport you don't get paid unless you place is golf.
That's right. That's exactly right. You don't make the cut. You get on the plane or get in your vehicle and you drive to the next tournament and hope you make it there. You know, there's no payday. You're right. If you don't make the cut. And I think the other thing, Lee, is the amount of things that happen on a golf course, $1 million deals, jobs,
right,
relationships that are, and the stories that are told. I'll tell you, you know, hilarious stories you hear all the time of golfers' mindsets and what they think of, and just, but Lee, in our conversations, I just love the history of anything. One of the greatest moments of my life is I got to spend about 10 or 15 minutes talking to Chick Childress. when I was at Delta and had never met the man. And I could have sat there for 5 hours and listened to him talk. Mm. I mean, just the most phenomenal thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, what a legend. The late Chick
Childress. Gosh.
The late Charlie Brown at Neville and then Chick Childress at Ruston. And just, you know, he coached at Neville with Chick. That was an interesting staff. That was the go down is the greatest staff ever. Those two.
Without a doubt. One of them coaching offense, one of them coaching defense. Mr. Coach Bill Ruppel had it made, didn't he?
Oh, man. Go get some diet unsweet tea and just sit in a chair and say, hey.
Man, gosh, it's so much fun.
And speaking of golf, when they don't get paid, they still got to pay the caddy. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Coach, what about Tiger Woods before we go? Do you think, and again, I'm not a golf guy. I don't know about when you're done and all this and that. I know he's, you know, in his 40s. I don't know if anybody's even mentioned. I know he's not fully, you know, back to full health, but would you be surprised if he tried to come back?
No, not whatsoever. I told somebody that the other day. I said, if anybody could do it, it would be him. But I know this because of you know, myself being, I think Tiger's 40, 45, maybe getting close to 46. So I'm 10 years older than him. And I know the older you get, the one thing I tell people all the time about getting older is the recovery time is longer. You don't heal up as quick from you know, dings here and there, sprains or pulls or whatever. It takes a little longer. So, you know, Father Time, as we all know, is undefeated. So he's definitely not on his side. But, no, Lee, I wouldn't put it past him because, you know, when he went through his back stuff, nobody said he'd ever play again. He comes back, wins the Masters. So, you know, if anybody can do it, that guy could do it.
And he's had three or four back surgeries, which, like you said, he had three back surgeries before. Like I said, he came back and won the Masters after three. I've never heard of an athlete having three back surgeries winning a championship.
No, what I've always been told all my life is generally when you have a back surgery, you don't stop at one.
Yeah.
You know, it's more involved than in that. And I've seen a lot of guys, you know, that back has caused a lot of problems out of a lot of good ones. But if anybody could do it, it would be that guy. His resolve is just, it's phenomenal.
Coach, I'm wishing for our country to be full tilt, no mask, hopefully in a month or less, or maybe 2 months. You know, it seems like the people are taking the shot. Some people aren't. That's fine. Everybody has their right to take it or not. But the country looks like it's getting back, and I'm excited. And I'm excited for these young kids to be able to get back full time, and coaches for y'all to have a full spring coming up.
And,
you know, like you said, to have that normalcy going into
fall. I know it.
And so I wish that for all coaches. I wish that for all families, just for our normal life to get back to normal. We need it. I'm tired of looking at every little dot on the wall in my house, and I'm tired of watching TV. I'll tell you that. But
yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Coach, I was watching sporting events I've never watched before. You know, the world's strongest, you know, man and stuff like that, and lacrosse and all that. I never watched any of that, but things that you watch when you run out of things to watch because there was no football for a time.
You know what I became a fan of, Lee, and I couldn't tell you why, but I just watched it one day, and it there's something about, I don't even know what I'm watching, but I just, the intensity of it is that the curling with the stones on the ice. I don't know why, but it just, it intrigues me, that game, you know, it really does.
Huh. I don't know much about that one.
I don't either. I just know them, you know, they push that stone and they try to make it land in that circle. And you got these two guys that are got these special shoes on that are running in front of that stone with brushes, and they're brushing the ice, making it curve left and right. And it's really fun to watch. I don't know why, but it is.
The one that I was watching, Coach, too, was on, I don't know if it's the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but these guys that make their own knives. And they win.
Yep.
They win money. They take steel, and I'm just amazed that you can just take all this steel and make a knife in like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days.
Yep. Well, that goes back to what I said earlier about I have a great admiration for people that are really, really experts at what they do, and it doesn't matter what it is they do. Like you said, building knives or whatever. You know, I admire watching people that are really good at what they do.
Yeah, and I'm like you, Coach. I like history. You know, just whether you're a chef, a plumber, you know, electrician, a carpenter, a painter, you know, I appreciate that as well. And mine is, some people see it boring. You know, I follow high school sports, you know, but
exactly.
Unless you love high school sports, and it's a cool thing to do. But
that's right. That's right.
But Coach, keep doing a great job. Best of luck to you this coming season in the 2021 season. And I know that Franklin Parish has got a chance to do some great things if these kids work hard. I know that's what you're telling them, that to, you know, everything gained is earned. You got to put in the work and the time to get there, but you've got some good players coming up. And Coach, don't hang up yet. I'm going to end the show. Thanks for everybody for listening to the show today. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. Our editor, Jace Lejeune, has got some great stories on different schools in the state. And in a few weeks, you can get the Preview Magazine. It'll be our 25th year, 25 years come early September, putting out our Preview Magazine on the whole state of Louisiana. 25th year for Louisiana Football Magazine. We will see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.